Chapter 12. He appointed me a prophet. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Yet shall know. It is sad to note that God said that his chosen people, the Israelites, would at last recognize and know that there had been a prophet among them, but they would recognize it too late. The warnings Ezekiel had given to them had truly been from the mouth of God, and they, in rebellion, had ignored and despised them. Because Ezekiel truly had his ears opened in the vision that God had vouchsafed to him. There were and are many prophecies in the world, but most are pseudo-prophetic words that say the things that people want to hear. Warnings, wise instructions, reproof, and other words of that nature do not fall well in the ears of the populace. Such words are especially unwelcome when they truly come from the mouth of God to one of his true prophets. While visiting Japan, almost every church I visited had received prophecies that revival was shortly going to begin in their very own church, and a revival that would reach all of Japan. I don't know how revival could actually begin in 100 places at once. However, they believed it, for had not visitors from many lands prophesied that very thing to them? 25 years have gone by, and they are still waiting. I shared with them that when one is expecting a most welcome and important visitor, the host always goes to much pains to make all in readiness for that visit. After all, revivals don't just happen. God does much pre-revival preparation before revival comes to a place. In the book of Revelation, John sent to the seven existing churches of that day the word God gave specifically to them. To five of those churches, Christ sent a message urging them to repent. He had found something seriously wrong that he wanted corrected. To only one church, he sent a message of comfort because they were in persecution. And to one other church was given some commendation when he said to them in Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 and 11, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. A true prophet has heard God speak, and will tell what God has said, regardless of whether the people want to hear it or not. It is certain such a man of God will never be popular with the people. Jesus was most unpopular with the ruling class of the Jews, and towards the last of his ministry, unpopular with most of the populace. What is a prophet? In the New Testament, there are three levels mentioned regarding prophecy. In the first level, all may prophesy, one by one, which we read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. For you all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. Then there is a gift of prophecy, of which we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Then there is the prophet, of whom we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. Ezekiel was made a prophet and sent specifically as a prophet to the captive people of Israel in Babylon. It does not say that God sent Ezekiel to give them a prophecy, but that a prophet had been amongst them. God has given to the church three office ministries. In the Old Testament, God ordained the prophet, priest, and king. These three, in turn, correspond to the three office ministries in the New Testament. The apostle is equal to the king. The prophet is the same as prophet. The teacher is the equivalent of the priest that taught the people. Throughout the whole Bible, there are the three distinct ministries that function first in the nation, then in the church. They represent Christ the priest, Christ the teacher, and Christ the prophet. What is a prophet? In the Old Testament, the prophet was often called a seer. He was a man who had his eyes and his ears open to the realm of the Spirit. He speaks what he hears God speak and declares it is actually what God said. A true prophet must have a hearing ear open to the voice of God. A false prophet will speak out of his own heart, having heard his own spirit speak and speak forth his own desires. A true prophet is not scheduled for success. Often we think that a true prophet should have great success. But history and reality confirm just the opposite. Many prophets were killed, and many were persecuted, for their words were not pleasant to the ears of the people. Success is not the criterion of the ministry of a true man of God. It has been said that the master never promised success to his servants. He demands obedience. He expects faithfulness. Results are his concern, not ours. And our reputation is of no consequence at all. Ezekiel was sent to a rebellious house. The carnal church has always been a rebellious house. If success is a criterion of a true man of God, then some of the greatest men of God were failures. Stephen was a failure in his martyrdom. Paul, we might say, that in spite of persecution, was at first quite successful, till later in life, the Corinthian church rejected him, and all the churches in Asia turned against him. Christ on the cross was a failure in the eyes of the Jews. And then Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah fared no better. And the greatest of all prophets, John the Baptist, was murdered by the king. God is not obligated to confirm his servants. However, he will confirm his word. But he might wait 200 or more years to do that. He did confirm his son by his works, but people still refused to believe him. He again confirmed his son when he rose from the grave. But the Jews, even today, refuse to accept that as true. Many Christians will say to the prophet, "Well, It sounds plausible. Who knows? If it is true or not, well, after all, there is no hurry. And anyway, I am not ready to make any drastic changes. I am very comfortable now and feel secure and do not want to make any radical changes now. Some people think that if it is a true word from God, that it will just go out and accomplish what God intended it to do. It will, but not necessarily today. Ezekiel lived 592 years before Christ. Today, some 2,500 years later, Ezekiel's word is being studied and loved by thousands, but he died in apparent defeat. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He spoke eternal truths about things that men did not like to hear. He disillusioned the religious illusions of his day. He contradicted the deceits of the religious leaders. However, men love illusions and hate to be disillusioned. They delight in deceits that favor their desires and will tolerate no contradiction of them. The great circus showman, Barnum Bailey, built their whole business on the fact that men love to be deceived. However, God hates deceit and illusion. A prophet is one who hears God and dares to say what God says. He does not build people's illusions or cater to their cherished deceptions. When Paul needed to talk of his accomplishments, he said, "Let me talk like a fool." However, he did not feel he was talking like a fool when he spoke of glorying in the cross of Christ. The message of Ezekiel that followed his vision was a message of much crying out against sin in high places. He spoke what he heard God say. He spoke against Jerusalem and its rulers, against wicked people, against the pagans, against Babylon, against the priests, and against the pastors. Judgment is not God wreaking vengeance. Judgment on a nation is because they have refused to let God save them from themselves and from the problems of their own making, and therefore, those foreseen results are catching up with them, and God refuses to intervene to impede their harvest of the unrighteousness which they had planted. There was a certain pilot that did not land right when he landed his plane. He bounced hard and went back up high, bounced again, still very hard, and went back up high, and then finally came in. Instead of writing it down as a hard landing, he played with it and wrote it down as a small item in his report. They checked it and told him there was an injury done to the engine mounts. He paid no attention, but flew it back to England. Upon close examination in England, they found that of the three bolts that hold the engine to the fuselage, one was broken, one was cracked, one was still holding. He lost his job right there. That was the last plane he flew. The judgment of the company fell upon him. Why? Because the company did not like the pilot? No, but because the pilot's deliberate error caught up with him. Judgment is not a case of God's anger released, but that the deliberate errors of life catch up with men because they will not let God fix them. If I have not wanted nor received the truth and refuse to let people tell me about my errors and will not deal with it myself, then for sure they are going to catch up with me. God warns of troubles to come and calls to us to let him fix things. A true man of God will listen and deal with things that need fixing. A true word of God will cut across illusion and call for repentance. God does not disillusion men to make them feel bad, but because he wants them to change and find the truth. A true prophet will always say what God says, regardless of who it hurts or what the reactions will be. Jesus said, "Many shall strive to enter into that gate, and shall not enter therein." Many usually means more than 50%. They will not enter into the narrow gate, and one reason is that they really do not want to hear the truth, because that would put them into realizing that they were entering into the wrong gate. There are false prophets as well as true ones. In Jeremiah's day, there were many false prophets, prophesying all kinds of good things. The people loved the false prophecies. Then, when Jeremiah prophesied the true word from God concerning coming judgments, the people became very angry and threw Jeremiah into an empty well. Do not naively think that men want to hear God speak. According to the Bible, most men do not like it. "Son of man," God said to Ezekiel, "I send you to a rebellious house, impudent children. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, but they shall know there has been a prophet among them."